Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Lake Street Dive is a band that takes the sound of vintage styles from the middle of the 20th century, everything from swing-era jazz to 1970s AM radio pop, and creates new music with them. Public radio listeners may know Lake Street Dive from their frequent appearances on the show Live From Here. TV viewers may have seen them in the remarkable documentary concert film Another Day, Another Time. And of course, they have their own growing discography, which just got a little bigger with the release of their brand new album called Obviously. Lake Street Dive is a quintet, and all five members have convened to play some songs for us, beginning with this one called Same Old News.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
you. Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate the claps. Whew.
We're going to do a duet song now. It's going to feature Rachel, of course, and Aki. They're going to duet. It's going to be great. They're going to sing together. They're going to sing riffs back and forth. Get ready. Buckle up. This is called Same Old News.
Nice.
About the gossip. Do you think that we're a million miles from shore.
At least until they built a tower where there wasn't one before.
That is Lake Street Dive with a live performance of their song Same Old News. The band's new album is called Obviously. And joining me at the microphones, singer Rachel Price, bass player Bridget Carney. You'll hear Bridget singing a bit in a little while as well. The rest of the band, including Mike Calabrese on drums, Aki Burmis on keyboards, McDuck, Mike Olson on guitar. Rachel, tell me, the title, obviously, is not obvious to me.
Well, it's the first word of the song Hypotheticals. It's,
yes.
And it's obviously we're at the beginning of something. So it made us want to put the song first, and then it sort of firstly put the word into our heads as an album title. And, you know, Bridget made a really good point about the title being sort of like funny and also having some sort of deeper meaning behind it, which is, we thought it would be fun to, I think it's always catchy to have a phrase, a name of a song, a hook in a song, or an album title that like you just think of all the time. So it's like, we just say the word obviously all the time. So kind of fun that maybe for the next, you know, year or so, people say obviously, and then they'll like maybe think about our record. I love that.
Uh-huh.
Like anytime I say work, I got to work. I just like think about Rihanna. I'm just like work, work, work. And then it's Rihanna. And I was like, that's a genius song. So trying
yes.
to like, you know, put a little hook in people's brains. But, you know, Bridget was talking about some of the topics that we talk about on this record, which, you know, maybe are a little bit heavier, talking about climate change or the inequalities between men and women. And these are mm-hmm. things that we know about that you might be like, these are very obvious, but they still maybe need to be restated.
Yeah. And Mike is also joining us at the microphone.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. So Bridget, Same Old News has a kind of, I mean, look, this band has been known for having a sort of a classic pop sound. And on Same Old News and on a couple of other tracks, there's almost like a disco-era R&B flavor to the arrangement. Is that, now, Rachel just said, you know, you were at the beginning of something. Does this album feel sonically like a beginning, a new beginning for the band somehow?
I think hopefully every album that we make is something of a new beginning. And that's what's so exciting to me about music and art in general, is that no matter how much you do it, the next time you try to do it, you're kind of starting at the beginning again, because there's no recipe for creation. You always like need to just see what you're working with and where you are in life and what you're thinking about and what instruments you're excited about and what kind of stylistic flavors you're excited about. And then you create and you see what comes out of that.
Well, speaking of instruments, I mean, you're clearly still excited by the good old stand-up bass. as opposed, you know, it would have been much easier, I'm sure, to travel to the studio with a bass guitar.
John, you're right about that. Yes. The upright bass is a problem in many ways, and I'm stubbornly refusing to make the switch. We were talking about this the other day, and it's kind of, so we started as a band when we were in college, and we were all studying jazz together at the New England Conservatory. And so upright bass was my primary instrument at the time. And now I play all sorts of instruments in other contexts, guitar and electric bass for sure, and other things. But the upright bass has become a part of the character of our band. It's kind of like a cast member on the TV show that we're producing called Lake Street Dive. So, you know, it just continues to be part of our sound, and it's fun for me to continually say, wow, how are we going to make this one work with the upright bass? You know, and then you
right.
figure it out. You use different ways of playing and different ways of like amplifying the sound or treating it to like make it fit into the whatever new world the band has found itself to.
Yeah. So Mike, as the drummer tasked with keeping that kind of R&B groove going, did this album feel a little different rhythmically? I mean, you have a producer, Mike Elizondo, who's known as a hip-hop producer, and yet you're known for this kind of classic pop sound. How did that work out?
It's funny. When I think about hip-hop, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, the birthplace of hip-hop in the Bronx was, you know, they were spinning and looping funk records,
right?
You know, and that is definitely along the, you know, tributaries of influence that we as a band follow to this day. What was different was that Mike Elizondo's brain for that sort of, for the arrangement style, you know, there's nothing I play on the record that isn't authentic to my various inspirations. But what Mike Elizondo was able to show me was just different ways of thinking about the drums, different ways of utilizing them as a texture.
Mm. Many years ago, Fiona Apple brought Mike Elizondo into our studio, you know, for a live performance, and he was playing Bridget a stand-up bass.
Woo!
So was there lots of bass geeking happening in between takes?
Yeah, there was a lot of geeking in general. we're a geeky bunch. And yeah, it was definitely similar to Mike's experience, like really cool to work with Mike Elizondo on just dialing exactly the right part that like fits in the cracks of what everything else is doing. So everything's harmonious and leaves room for each other, one another's parts to speak. And yeah, he would be very specific. Okay, that second note needs to be a little shorter, you know, and then like I do it again and he's like, still a little bit shorter, you know, like super focused, putting the microscope on everything, but also I think looking out in a great way for the big picture of every song. And like speaking of about like the drum parts, I was just thinking of our song Being a Woman, which I think we have on the
set.
And the drum part on that is like very restrained. It's very restrained on the verses and choruses, and then on the bridge it's like a whole new guy like walks into the studio who has a totally different personality. And like, yeah, so in terms of big picture, what Mike Calabrese and Mike Elizondo were able to create together was like this real shape and arc to all of the songs.
Well, let's do Being a Woman then. Rachel, the song you alluded to this already, you know, the idea of gender inequality, it's not a new idea. So you know, there's a kind of gently chiding quality to some of the lyrics, you know, the 80 cents on a dollar and things like that. And yet it's set to this likable, I mean, that's a classic pop trope, isn't it? To slip the message in mm-hmm. on the back of a really fun song.
I think it's nice to hear songs with messages that have the type of groove that you can listen to them over and over again. I think it's fascinating and great to combine the light with the dark. And, you know, thematically, I think that was a great choice because it's sort of it's a sparse sort of tired, and it's like tired and peppy at the same time. You know, this combination and, you know, Bridget points out that this sort of thematic element, it sort of communicates like service with a smile, even when you just want to throw the drink in someone's face.
So it's tired as in sick and tired, not exhausted.
Yeah, exhausted too, but yeah.
All right, well, let's hear this performance. The song is Being a Woman. You'll find it on the new album by Lake Street Dive. The album is called Obviously, but here is a live performance.
Being a woman is a full-time job. I wake up in the morning and I punch the clock. And people tell me take it easy, but they don't say to stop. Being a woman is a full-time job.
Another live performance from the band Lake Street Dive. That's the song Being a Woman. You'll find it also on their brand new album called Obviously. Bridget, you were singing backing vocals there. Aki was doing some backing vocals in the first song. Everybody in this band can sing. So how do you make the decision of how to deploy all the voices?
Very democratically, painfully democratically sometimes. we definitely, there's a lot of trial and error when we have sort of a structure to how we want the harmony parts to go. We'll pass them around, see who sounds best on which part, and it's kind of different for every song because different ranges of your voice have different emotional qualities to them. And so if it's, if you want it to be a sort of, even if it's just an ooh, you know, you have to carefully choose like what type of ooh you want it to be. And then with that last piece on the record, the a cappella group, that was our first time attempting that. And I think that's another thing that we've learned over the years is that, like, yes, we are a band that has a drummer, a bass player, and a guitar player, a keyboard player, and five people who can sing, but you don't need to do all of those things at one time. And sometimes the most interesting thing is to strip them away. So yeah, that was like a new challenge and really fun to work on that a cappella arrangement, which Mike and Aki primarily arranged.
Sarah, you can be sure. First time no one gives in to you, no one hides their shame, no one holds a flame. Sarah,
you were all trained, you know, you went to New England Conservatory. So when you're working out these harmonies, is it by ear or is somebody actually sitting down, like Mike, were you and Aki actually sitting down and writing harmonies out on staff paper and trying to figure it out in your mind's ear before giving it to the band?
Yeah, we weren't using staff paper. We were using basically like a MIDI grid in GarageBand.
Oh.
That kind of like helped, you know, you could visualize it and you could still see the notes. And the added benefit of that was that we used it later to not only sing everything in tune, but use it to trigger the vocoder that's put on Rachel's voice so that everything that she was singing was harmonized perfectly with what we were singing. You know, sometimes things are mapped out, just like you sit at a keyboard and you go, this is the way the part should move and let's do it. But we do have a technique that's just called, let's fuego it.
We call it fuego.
Yeah. Just like, you know, cause if you're singing along to a song that you maybe never sung a harmony to, you know, and you get it perfectly with the harmony, people be like, oh, you're on fuego, you know, fuego means
on fire. Yes.
Not, you know, Hispano Oblante's out there. So sometimes we'll just like go for it and like, let's see what the fuego gives us. And sometimes you'll keep that. Cause that's like, it's instinctual, mm-hmm. you know, or just reactive more than, you know, sometimes there's a little, especially with a bunch of nerds, there's too much thinking that's mm-hmm. going on in music, and it's good to add a little bit of heart and soul.
Yeah. You know? Rachel, what's the songwriting process? Is that as democratic as everything else in the band?
Definitely. Yeah. Everybody writes. And on this album, we did a lot of co-writing, more than we've done in the past. And that part for me has just been like, it has actually opened up like an entirely new world of excitement for me around songwriting. I would say like, I'm personally like pretty like reticent to write songs. And I've always been like very encouraged by my bandmates. I don't think I would be a songwriter if it wasn't for Lake Street Dive, like bringing that side out of me. But it's really fun because even if you have just the tiniest idea, you can give it to someone in the band and they will expound upon it. And then all of a sudden there's a song. And so you start to see potential in ideas so much quicker, or like you don't throw out ideas as fast as you would if you were writing a song on your own. Cause that, if that feeling creeps in, oh, I don't know where to go next with this. You're like, well, maybe someone in my band does. There's four, there are four other brains that can go behind this. And so, you know, to send off a demo idea and then the next day to get something back that completes the song. You know, I did that with Nobody Stopping You Now. I did that with Lackluster Lover. Those were two ideas that I had like very little faith in. And then all of a sudden I was like, dang, this is so cool. Like,
I
I just remember like one day just like running outside and just saying to myself, I love co-writing. I was just like, so it's just like, I remember it. I'm not even lying. I screamed it to the sunshine because I was just like, it's so fun to work on music.
That's super weird.
I know. I was just so excited. I was just like, anyway, it's a beautiful thing. And so this record, there's a lot of co-writes. There was a lot of songs that, you know, came completed, you know, like Sarah, Mike was just like, hey, I wrote Sarah, you know, I don't know, however many years ago, what should we do with it? Hypotheticals, just like, Bridget was like, mic drop. She just gave it to us. And we were like, cool, we'll do this song. So it's all over the place. And then the process of picking the songs was kind of where on this record, Mike Elizondo came in. In a big way. He took like 30 demos and listened to them and then told us what songs he felt like were going to make the strongest statement as a whole.
So there's a whole Lake Street Dive basement tape collection somewhere.
Yeah, I won't tell you what we call our basement tape file, but...
I'm guessing it's not on Fuego then.
No.
It's decidedly... But the Fuego was put out.
Bridget, is Hypotheticals essentially your song?
Yeah, this was a song that I wrote and just felt like it was perfect for Lake Street Dive. Like, and I'll write songs, like I put out solo records and write with other artists and stuff, and sometimes I won't decide immediately where a song goes, but this one was like the initial statement came to mind. I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. It just kind of has this like sense of humor that sometimes I think works well for our band, but it's also like a melody that I knew Rachel would sing the crap out of, and it's a groove oriented song, so I knew Mike was going to crush it. It just kind of like had all these things that over the years we've discovered are like the great tools in our toolbox, and that was exciting to get to have the band that would do that job so well be my band.
All right, well let's give Rachel a chance to sing the crap out of it, and Mike a chance to crush it.
Yes.
and the rest of Lake Street Dive giving us a live performance of the song Hypotheticals.
Obviously, we're at the beginning of something. I don't expect you to know where it's gonna go. But I believe we might be we will never be apart. Hypothetically, yes. Theoretically, forever. We'll see what happens, but I hope we will never be apart.
Hypotheticals. It is a song from the new Lake Street Dive record called Obviously. You've just heard the band playing live. And the song, Bridget, you know, it has this kind of slow intro, but then it does settle into this kind of soul funk groove. Is that something that, you know, you said before that as soon as you wrote the song, you realized this is a Lake Street Dive song? To me, it was a little bit, one of the pleasures of this record is that that's it seems to me a surprising addition to the Lake Street Dive sound.
Yeah, a lot of what writing your own music is like a reflection of what kind of music you listen to and like. And definitely this song reminds me of a lot of stuff that we would turn on, you know, in the van or whatever, yeah. Just like danceable, fun, sing-along roller skating music is oftentimes the genre that we give ourselves when we don't have a better word for it. So yeah. This is certainly falls in that category.
I you know, obviously is the new, oh, damn it, Rachel, you were right.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
You're welcome, John.
I got you.
So in terms of summer plans, are
you know, we are slated to do a festival at the end of April, and we are thinking about we'll be in Florida at something called the Moon Crush Festival. It's like a distanced, everybody like lives, people go as a pod, you live in a house as a pod, you know, everything's like, you know, fully screen, the seats are all tables and spaced out.
And we're sort of in the wait and see, but you know, we're anxious and excited to get back out on tour as soon as we can.
It's probably worth pointing out the album was completed by the time the pandemic started, essentially, right?
It was, yeah. We finished the album around like March 8th or something of 2020.
Wow, so just under the wire,
right in the under the wire, yeah.
Oof. All right. Well,
all right.
Yeah.
Your timing was impeckable.
Yeah,
I guess.
And yeah, thank you all. This has been great fun.
Thank you. Thanks so
thank
much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Lake Street Dive's album is called Obviously, it's out now, but so are the videos of these live performances. Find them on our website here at newsounds.org or on our YouTube channel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer is Karen Havlick, our video editor is David McLean, and I'm John Schaefer. Shooting for the moon.